I enjoy very much the prophet Amos. Amos is such an encouragement to me because he reminds me a bit of me. Amos was a keeper of cattle and a farm boy. And all through his book, we find him alluding to his peasant life. For example, he talks about the sheep torn by a lion. He talks about the kine of Bashan. He mentions a cart full of sheaves. He mentions some sifted corn. He mentions the plowman. He talks about the vine dressers. And so Amos, he was that unpolished kind of a country boy. He said one time, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. He never rose to the heights of Daniel with his imagery. He lacks Ezekiel's imagination. He does not have the tears nor the weeping of Jeremiah nor the polish of Isaiah or the cherubim of Ezekiel or the seraphim of Isaiah. Amos was just an old barnstorming preacher that just let her rip, that's all. He stabs his foes in short, abrupt sentences, uses verbal ox goads like Shamgar rather than using the sword of Goliath. His is no shined shaft. His is just a sharp stick. But my, what a preacher. He sends in his prophecy, he sends flames at Syria, lightning upon Tyrus. He hurls darts at Edom. He pours vials of wrath upon Ammon and thunders out, "Ye must prepare to meet thy God." Thunders out to God's people, "You better get right with God or you're going to perish." Amos, however, is called something very interesting in the Bible. Amos is called a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Now, at first sight, that term gatherer of sycamore fruit would leave us to think nothing other than the fact that he has gathered fruit. However, if you looked more carefully in the Bible, you'd find it really says he's a bruiser of sycamore fruit, or a pricker of sycamore fruit, or a scratcher of sycamore fruit. But I think the best translation is that Amos was a bruiser of sycamore fruit. Now, what would that mean? It means exactly this. The fruit of the sycamore tree was a very interesting fruit. It was not a peach, however, but it was a very interesting fruit. It tasted much like a fig, though it's not quite as sweet as a fig. And it did not ripen easily. If you listen carefully, you'll get something I think that'll be a blessing. When the fruit was about to ripen, it could not ripen by itself, so they felt. It was believed that it would not ripen until it was bruised. So what would happen? A person was so employed to take an iron comb and bruise that sycamore fruit and scratch that sycamore fruit and prick the sycamore fruit. Then, they thought, after the iron comb had been used for the bruising of the fruit, it then became sweet. The sycamore fruit was a bitter fruit until it was bruised. And after it was bruised, the sycamore fruit became ripened. But it would not ripen until it was bruised. And after it was ripened, it became one of the sweetest of all the fruits. The sweetest of all the fruits is a fig. The sycamore fruit would become nearly as sweet as the fig. But it would not ripen until it was wounded. And until then, it was very, very bitter. Unwounded, it was too bitter to eat. When bruised, it was sweet. Did you know the Christians that way? Our Lord looks down at us and finds us bitter. And he says, I'll have to bruise that Christian. And when bruised, oftentimes, then we become sweet and useful for our God. He has a bitter spirit, somebody says about a preacher boy in Hiles Anderson College. He has a bad spirit. Leave him alone. Don't bother. Don't fret. One day God will take that preacher boy and God will bruise him. One day God will break his heart. One day God will take the iron comb and he'll take that comb and prick that preacher boy. And when he does so, the preacher boy bruised will turn from bitter to sweet. Somebody said, he's a cocky young fella. He's a cocky upstart. Don't criticize him. Leave him alone. God's not through with him yet. One of these days, God will take that life and he'll bruise that life. When God bruises it or pricks it and the burdens come and the heartaches come, then and only then can a Christian begin to ripen. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, why do so many sorrows come to my life? God's bruising you so your fruit will taste sweet. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, why can't I pay my bill at school? That's what the office would like to know. But why can't I pay my bill at school? Why is it that other students get checks from home and their moms and dads pay their tuition? And I've got to scrub floors, work in the dining hall, barely make ends meet. Why is it I'm that way? Ah, thank God you're that way. That means the Master is bruising you to make your fruit sweeter. And you mark my word, some of the students that have it toughest now are going to have some of the greatest ministries of all one of these days because the Father is bruising you. And I don't like all these trials. You ought to thank God for them. Makes you sweeter. Makes you sweeter. And so our Lord sometimes comes and says, okay, he's a little cocky. I'll bruise him. I hate to admit this because I hate to let you know that I'm not perfect. All of you think that I am. I was out soul winning one day, and I said to a little lady, I said, now, Romans 3.10 says, she'd been to the services. I said, Romans 3.10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 3.23 says, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And I said, if all have sinned, that means you, that my soul winning partner here sinned, doesn't it? She said, yes, it does. And I said, if all have sinned, that means I've sinned, doesn't it? You know how we do that, you know. And she looked at me and she dropped her mouth, oh, several feet open. And she said, oh, Brother Hiles. I thought, good night. What's wrong? Did I not wear my pants? Or have I got ketchup on my face? Or breast smell like onion? I said, well, what is it? What is it? She said, you never sinned, did you? Well, I said, come think of it. I guess I never really did. But the honest, simple truth is that we get a little cocky, don't we? That the Lord has to come down and bruise us. And after God bruises us, then our fruit becomes sweet. And I was thinking about my own life. Oh, my. I've always been sincere. I've always in my heart, God knows this is true. I've always in my heart, from right up here, there's a lot less up here now than it used to be, but from right up here to right down here, and there's a lot less in between, a lot more in between than there used to be, but I've always been sincere. But I've had my share of having a bad spirit. I had my share as a young preacher, sometimes of being vindictive. I've gotten in the pulpit a few times and used the pulpit as a post to beat somebody with, and I never should have done it. I've smarted back and sought vengeance and sought retaliation, though no Christian ought to ever do it. And the dear Lord has come. No, it just seemed like with the Fisk, I must be the meanest of all, because the Lord has to bruise me all the time. But as I look back over my life, honestly, honestly, I thank God for every tear. I thank God for every battle. I thank God for every scar. I thank God for every sleepless night. I thank God for every time the heart has been broken. You know why? Because the Lord has made the fruit maybe a little better to eat. And the Lord says, old Jack's getting a little bitter. And he just takes old Jack and he bruises him a little bit. Now look, folks, let the Lord do all the bruising. Some of you folks trying to do God's work for him. But the Lord takes it, and he bruised it a bit. And I say, oh, God, that hurt, that hurt. And the Lord said, I want to use you. And then I get up and preach the next Sunday. And as I preach, you reach out and you take a bite. One of the advantages of being a preacher is you get to do this. And you take a bite of the fruit. And you say, you know, I believe Brother Hiles is mellowing. Brother Jim Lyon said one time that my voice is mellow when I sing. He said the dictionary says that mellow means nearly ripe and fully rotten. And and you say, I believe Brother Hiles is mellowing. Brother Hiles is getting sweeter. Well, the Lord knows there's room for it. But and the first one that says amen is going to get this speech. But you said, I believe Brother Hiles is getting sweeter. Well, maybe the Lord bruised him during the week. And sometimes I say, Lord, I'm going to be so sweet that everybody's going to get sugar diabetes if you don't quit bruising me so much. But that's what the Lord has to do. Aren't you glad as you look back over your life that God has bruised you occasionally? Sometimes the dear Lord looks down and he'll take a father from a son, and that father will die unconverted, as my dad did, because God wants to make a First Baptist Church of Hammond, or God wants to make a Hiles Anderson College. Sometimes the Lord comes down and he'll take a little girl out of a home named Joy and take her on to heaven because he wants to make a Lee Robertson and a Highland Park Baptist Church and a Tennessee Temple College and a Camp Joy. Sometimes God will come down and give a little girl a heart that's not perfect, and so she'll have to have surgery and wonder why she has surgery, so God can make a Max Hilton to be a blessing to so many. Sometimes God comes down and takes a little boy out of a home, a fine little boy. God's making a Jim Vineyard. You know, I was sitting in Washington this week with 26 of the other religious leaders of America around a table. And Brother Fisk, I got to just looking at each one of them and thanking God for them, the ones I knew. Did you know in practically every case some tragedy had come in the life of that preacher? And I got to counting the tragedies. And in every case, just about, in every case, before God could make a mighty man of God, God had to reach down and bruise. I don't know why he does. I guess we think we can make it on our own. I guess we think our talent can make it. I guess we think our being ingenious, or our personality, or our dynamics can make it. No, 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 10,000 times no. You look at this great crowd this morning and look at, oh my, the other day I went back to my study after I'd had a meeting with the faculty, and I saw the chapel filled with people twice. And I thought, all those folks look to me, and they all work for me, and they all are paid, the salaries are paid by our church, and all of their families must eat because of the money that comes here. And I thought, oh my God, what a responsibility. All of this didn't come because I know a few funny stories. All of it didn't come because I holler a bit and scream. All of it didn't come because I've been to college somewhere. No, back yonder the Lord had to bruise and bruise and bruise and bruise and bruise. So when the Lord comes, I was looking this morning. I don't know her name now. Her name was McKeegan one time. What is your name now, Mrs. whatever your name is? Owens. Would you folks stand up? I saw you this morning. God bless them. Thank you very much. Brother Owens is a faithful preacher of the gospel. And Mrs. McKeegan Owens, I just heard that they're married, and I'm so pleased. And I thought about the Saturday afternoon when Bill was taken. And I thought about going out to the hospital over east-west Chicago when Steve, just a young married fella, young wife and baby, cancer, and he said, Brother Hiles, I think I'm dying. I think I'm dying. Why does God do that? Young folks, you've laughed enough. Either get up and walk out or shut up while I'm preaching. Amen. God will have to bruise you one of these days, and he'll do it. Oh, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Don't shrink when God comes down with his knife and pierces you. Don't complain when things get a little bad. There's a God in heaven. And that God in heaven is just getting you ready to do something for him. Some of you boys in Hiles Anderson College, I'll never forget. First sermon I ever preached as a student in college. I went down to the college clothing room and got a suit of clothes. They didn't have one that didn't have a patch on it, and I had a patch on the seat of my britches while I preached my first sermon as a college preacher boy. And I stood up there and I made a mistake. I do like this every once in a while, you know. And I made a mistake of doing like that, and the patch on the seat of britches was showing to the choir. First Sunday I ever preached, and didn't have enough money to buy a suit of clothes or a shirt or a tie, and wore a hand-me-down suit of clothes and a tie. You say, poor Brother Hiles, 10,000 times no, poor Brother Hiles. Thank God for the bruises. Thank God for the steel, the iron comb that comes on the fruit. Why? Not at a wine. It makes us sweet to the taste. It makes us usable and useful for God. Sometimes the Lord has to come, and he takes a little girl and stops her ears for her lifetime so there can be a Dr. Bill Rice. Sometimes the Lord comes, and he takes a building and burns a building down and kills 7 people, members of a church, in the fire. Why does God do that? God does it so he can make a Charles Haddon Spurgeon. God comes down to a preacher, one of the finest young preachers in all of England, and makes it so that the church kicks him out, and he goes to another church and they kick him out, and he goes to another church and they kick him out, and finally he has no place to preach but out in the streets, and he stands up in the street and preaches, and he's kicked out of the street, and he goes out in the meadow and preaches, and he's chased out of the meadow, and finally he goes to a cemetery, and 20,000 people follow him to the cemetery, and he uses his own father's tombstone as a pulpit, and stands on his father's grave and preaches while folks hurl stones at him with no place to preach. And you say, why? God's making a John Wesley. That's why. God says the fruit is a bit bitter, or the fruit is a bit tart, or the fruit is a bit cocky. And God comes down and he takes the bruiser and he bruises you. That's why Amos was called the bruiser. May I say this? In a sense, that's what I am. A preacher ought to be a bruiser. Sometimes I've got to bruise you. For example, I sometimes stop and say, hey, listen while I'm preaching. And some of you folks that don't know very much, poor ignorant people, you say, he shouldn't do that. No, you keep your nose out of my business. That's the bruising that's necessary. And if you had bruised some of your kids more at home on the posterior, the flabby spot that God made for that, and you're a bruiser, they wouldn't misbehave when they go to church like they do. God sometimes, and by the way, Amos didn't want to be a bruiser. Amos didn't enjoy it. Amos full well knew he had to stand up and cry against sin and warn the people. But Amos didn't want to do it. He did it because he loved God. I don't want to do it. You do not know how many times I go to my study after I preach and cry and cry. And you don't know how many times before I come. You don't know how many times I say, oh, God, I don't want to do what I've got to do today. But I know what I've got to do. I know my people need bruising today. I come to the pulpit and bruise. Why? Thank God that my mother bruised me. That's why. Thank God that the teachers in school used to bruise me. That's why. Somebody said, Brother House, well, you talk to these young people. You must be a little angel when you were a kid. I was one of the devil's angels. And a little fallen angel. I recall when I went in junior high science class, old Mr. Brown stood up and he said, young people, this is a paddle. He said, every time you get a paddle, you misbehave, I'm going to paddle you. By the way, we didn't go to court in those days. We didn't have a bunch of crooked lawyers that stand up for indecency in those days. And so he said, and every time I paddle you, you're going to have to sign the paddle. And I've often said, that's where I learned how to write. And I thank God for every bruise. Listen, one day I went out of science class, went to Mrs. Roper's history class, and went back in the back and stood up during the class. And Mrs. Roper said, Jack, sit down. I said, I can't sit down. She said, are you sick? I said, no, I burn. She said, you got fever? I said, yeah, one place. I got fever, yeah. I couldn't sit down. I was burning, so I couldn't sit down. I mean, why? Because old Mr. Brown bruised me, that's why. Thank God for a mother that bruised me. Thank God for a pastor that bruised me. Thank God for a God who loved me enough to, when I was a kid preacher, and still sometimes when I get a little big for my britches, and God will come down and bruise me. Why? Because God knows you need some sweet fruit to taste on the Lord's day, that's why. And so the great preacher, you know, sometimes the Lord has to vote a fellow out of the denomination in order to make a Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning I was sitting down listing all the people that have been voted out of denominations that I knew. I just listed all of them. Spurgeon, Wesley, Finney, Jonathan Edwards, Dwight L. Moody, couldn't even get ordained. You know why? He couldn't pass the test. Dwight Moody couldn't even join the church. He tried to join the Congregational Church in Massachusetts. Tried to join it. Couldn't even join it. You know why? He couldn't pass the test. God has to bruise us in order to make our fruit sweet. Maybe a child will lie motionless in his crib. And maybe some morning you'll get up, and it's a beautiful morning, and the sun is up, and it looks like any other morning. And you go to the kitchen, maybe, and you get the breakfast ready. And then you go to see if the baby is okay or to change the baby's diaper. And you go and you find the little baby lying lifeless there. And you can't believe it. And the shriek and the scream comes and the baby's gone. You say, why? God wants your fruit to taste sweet, that's why. God wants sometimes to bruise you so your fruit will be sweeter. Maybe your teenage boy will have a fever. And he comes home and says, don't feel well. Maybe after a while he loses weight and he won't eat. You take him to the doctor. And it has happened in our church not long ago. Maybe the doctor will say he has cancer of the bone. And you can't understand why. You can't understand why. And you watch him wilt away and wilt away and wilt away. And you say, why? Oh, let me ask you a question. What would we have done here without the sweet fruit of people that we've seen suffer? I listed a few. Remember the figs of the Penley family that we ate? Huh? When I saw John and Madeline and the family come by and say goodbye to little Danny, with a smile on their faces and a song in their hearts. Remember how sweet the fruit was? We'd never have known Penley figs if it hadn't been for that, would we? Do you remember the pomegranates of the Perkies? Remember when the Perkies had a little baby and it died? And they had another little baby and it died. And they had a third baby and she looked so well. And they used to sit up in the right of the balcony over in the building that burned. And I'd look up and see them, and two babies had died, and they were so happy. And they began to notice that the little girl, it was a girl, and there was that she didn't respond right. It wasn't long they found that she was retarded. And before long, the little child was taken. And for the third time, they went up here to the Huber Funeral Home. For the third time, they followed a casket, a hearse, out to baby land. For the third time, they placed the little body, flesh of their own flesh, into the ground. I wonder why. God had some sweet fruit he wanted some people to taste across the country. Now maybe it may be that the sycamore fruit of the Giffords, or the sweet fruit that Mrs. McKeegan, now Mrs. Owens, fed us when we saw her come and say goodbye to her loved ones. Oh, listen to me. I've tasted the fruit of my little mother all these years because God bruised her when she was a young girl and took two little girls out of her lap and out of her home and out of their cribs and put them in baby land. And I thank God for the sweet fruit I've been tasting here for 16 or 17 years. Why? What? Because God in heaven wants us to have sweet fruit. And he comes down and he bruises us so our fruit will taste sweeter. I said to God this week, I said, dear God, I don't even have an office at the college. I don't even want to be a president of a college. You know that's true.
And I said, "Dear Lord, don't make me wait till December 30th for $2.5 million. But I'm willing to. It'll make me sweeter and make the fruit taste better." People oftentimes say, "Poor fellow, so much bad luck happened to him." No, bad luck's usually good luck. It's usually good luck. I said last Sunday, little Leah Hilton wondered why she had a heart that wasn't strong and well. Because God wanted a Max Hilton to build a church in Hawaii, that's why. I look across this building this morning, and I see broken hearts, and people that are not well and have loved ones that are sick, and I know at least that many terminal cancer patients sitting right here in this room this morning who sit up on the edge of their seats and listen to everything I say with an attentive ear, hoping to get some strength and courage. Listen to me! Maybe your fruit won't last long, but thank God it's sweet while you do get to live. But wait a minute. In the text a while ago, Brother Colston read, "A basket of summer fruit. A basket of summer fruit." This is not summer fruit. This is not summer fruit. What does summer fruit mean? Summer fruit, you got to eat it right now, or it's no good. Can't save summer fruit. If you don't eat summer fruit now, it'll rot. And actually what it says here, a basket of rotten fruit. You'll forgive me, but I've been saving up something for this. I'm going to show you what many of you look like this morning. I mean it. But this,
I can't bear.
That's some summer fruit. Dirty, rotten, no good.
What's that?
What is it? It's fruit that ripened, but wasn't used, and it rotted. Could I ask you a question? What's that good for? Oh, my. Anybody want to eat it? Listen. There's some people right here this morning in the prime of your life, but you're not doing anything for God.
15, 16, 17 years of age. When you get in college, you're going to serve God. No, you're not.
The kind that says, "I'll serve God tomorrow," finds tomorrow never comes. Now, but some of you in college, your fruit is like this. It is ready to eat. But you'll say, "When I get out of college, I'm going to set the woods on fire." No, you won't. Your trash won't do anything later on either. Some of you folks this morning in your 20s, all of life before you maybe, now's the time you ought to serve God. But you're not doing it. You're just like this old piece of rotten fruit. That's all you are. And so, Prophet Amos looks at a basket a fruit that wasn't eaten at the right time. And he says, that's what you are. He said to God's people, he said you could serve God. You could be used for God. You know, I was thinking, people oftentimes say to me, "Brother Hiles, pardon the clean house for a minute here. Brother Hiles, you're going to wear yourself out. I may do it, but I'm not going to rot. But Brother Hiles, you're not going to be an old preacher." Well, I'm going to be a middle-aged one. I'm not saving my energy till I get old. I've seen too many of you old folks when you get there. I am going to give it all I've got. What is day, night cometh when no man can work. So I'm going to pour myself into it. So many of you. Good only for the garbage. That's all it's good for. That's all in the world that fruit's good for, is to take and throw in the garbage. That's
That's all it's good for.
But now if I'd taken that fruit when it was like this, after it had gotten over its green stages, and if I had used it, what it was meant to be used for? You're green with jealousy, aren't you? If I'd used it for what God purposed it, it wouldn't have gotten like that. And one of these days, your life's going to be toward the end. I've got a scrapbook. It's not a book. It's a closet in my office. Every time I get any article about me or picture about me or go somewhere and, you know, something that's been written, I tear it out. I don't even cut it out. I just tear it out of the paper. And as you said, I throw it up there in the closet. The other day I was looking at it. I thought, if I ever have time, I'm going to go through that. And I'm going to relive some wonderful, precious memories. I don't have time now. I'm going to leave it here. I'm going to ask the Lord to keep that closet there during the millennium, during the tribulation period. I'll let Brother Fisk keep it for me. And I'm going to ask God to leave it there so when I come back during the millennium, I'm going to spend about 100 years just reading all of that. And I'm going to relive some of the great victories. I'm going to take all those pictures. And I'm going to relive the day we broke ground for this auditorium here. And I'm going to relive the day that that you folks stood beside me and gave up your friends of a lifetime. I'm going to take all the pictures about when I first came. And I'm going to relive all the pictures of me when I had a big bushy head of black hair. And I'm going to relive some wonderful times. So why don't you do it now? I'm too busy making a scrapbook to look at it. I'm too busy doing it. Get busy for God. You folks got money lying in a bank. Rotting. Doing nothing. You ought to put it to use for Jesus Christ. You only have one life to live. Everybody in this room this morning is either green fruit and God's going to have to bruise you to make you sweet unless you get busy. Or you're rotten fruit. I want to be a fully ripe peach, a pomegranate. Can be eaten so folks can enjoy me. I want somebody to go home this morning and say the preacher was a blessing to me today. I want somebody whose heart is heavy and broken to go home this morning and say thank God for that sermon. You know why? I want to be ripe fruit being used. And if the Lord has to bruise me and bruise me and bruise me and bruise me, and that's a good thought. No matter how much he has to bruise me, if he'll just use me, I'll take the bruises. I'll take the bruises. I don't want to suffer, but I'd rather suffer and be used than not suffer and not be used. What are you doing for God? What is the life you're living today? What is the message it bears on its way? Others are waiting. What does it say? What is your life today? Is it a beacon to guide the way? Is it like sunrise that brings the new day? Does it help others over last way? What is your life today? What are you doing for God? Huh? Well, you say nothing right now. Okay, you're going to rot one of these days. So when the bruises come, and the valleys come. I wrote a poem the other day. I think I read it last Sunday, maybe. I'm not sure. I won't read it now again. You wouldn't have any mountain peaks if there were no valleys. Nobody would know the sun was shining if there were no cloudy days. Nobody would know it was daylight if there were no darkness. Nobody would know any victories unless there were some battles. And so the prophet Amos is called the bruiser. Which kind of fruit are you today? Green, bitter, no good, wasting your life? Let God bruise you. What kind of fruit are you today? Are you rotten fruit, unused, just sitting there, filling up the inches of pews every Sunday, rotting, decaying, good for nothing but the garbage can? Or are you a fully ripe piece of fruit, been bruised to sweetness, where others can taste of your sweetness and be blessed? Let us pray. Father, when you got the iron comb out and came my way, it was pretty tough to take. And oh, I remember so many times those scratches and the pricking of the fruit. I flinched. I sometimes even ran. Thank you that you caught me. Thank you for every spanking. Thank you for every bruise that made the fruit a little better to taste. And now, Lord, I'm sometimes a tired piece of fruit, and sometimes I'm even a little bitter, and sometimes I'm not what I ought to be, but I want to be used. I want to be used. Oh, God, may we say with the writer, make me a channel of blessing today. Use me. And if you need to bruise me to use me, bruise me. And I ask for myself what I ask for my people. Our heads are bowed. There are several different groups of folks here this morning that need to think a little bit. Some of you are a little burdened today. You got some heartaches, problems, sorrows. You've been shrinking back from them a little bit. Maybe you'd say this morning, it's a purpose. There's a purpose in it. And I accept it. Maybe there's someone this morning who ought to say, Brother Hiles, I'm not being used of God. I'm just rotting on the vine, a basket of summer fruit. Right. You ought to get busy for God. Others of you ought to say, I'm not even on the vine. I'm not even saved. I'm not even a piece of fruit for God. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I'm not being used of God like I ought to be. But I want God to use me. I'm afraid, Brother Hiles, that my fruit is going to rot one of these days, and I'm going to be a basket of summer fruit unless something happens to me. Pray that God will use me, and I want to give my life to God and let Him use me while I have time. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building? All over the building. God bless every one of you. God uses. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I don't even know that I'm a Christian. I don't even know that I'm saved. But I wish I did. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be a Christian. But I don't know that I am. Brother Hiles, pray for me. First on the lower floor, the main floor. How many would say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved. God bless you, sir. God love you. And God bless you on my left over here. Who else? Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. God bless you, lady. God love you. And God bless you, sir. God bless you. Who else on the lower floor would say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died. God bless you, lady. God bless you. Who else on the main floor? I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died, but I wish I did know it. Lift your hand, would you please? Lift it way up high. In the balcony, the great hundreds and several thousands of people up there, God bless you, lady. God bless you. God bless you, young ladies. God bless you. Yes. Who else in the balcony would say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Lift your hand. God bless you. I see you. Who else? Yes, and God bless you, sir. God bless you. And God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you, little girl. Who else in the balcony? Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Lift your hand, please, would you? In the balcony. Anybody? Yes, God bless you. Yes, and we're back in the back row. God bless you. And yes, I see you up here. Bless your heart. Who else? Who else? Yes, sir, I see you. Put your hand down now. Who else? Back to the main floor. Who on the lower floor would say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm a Christian, but I want to know it. I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you. God bless you, Father. If I could save these folks, I would. You know it. I'd do it right now if I could, but I can't. I pray you will. I pray you will. I pray that you'd help every one of them to say yes to Jesus right now and settle this matter for thee. Oh, God, don't let any of them wait until they're rotten and have to be cast into the fires of hell, into your garbage can, because they never did. Trust the one who was bruised for our iniquities. Our heads are bowed. In just a few moments, we're going to sing. Here's what I want you to do. Upstairs in the balcony, all around the great balcony upstairs, I want you that raised your hand to leave your seat. I want you to come to the nearest aisle and down the aisle to the front. And I want you to receive Jesus as your Savior. We have some experts here that can take the Bible and show you how to go to heaven. You will never be sorry you came. There are others of you who ought to come this morning and say, I've been saved. I've never even been baptized. God pitied that kind of a witness. And you ought to say, I want to get baptized. Others of you ought to say, I want in this church. This is the kind of church I want my family in. You come this morning and present yourself for membership. My heads are bowed. One word we're going to say. This crowd this morning is a basket of fruit. In that basket, there's green fruit that's bitter. Get that bitterness out of your heart, for God has to bruise you. In that basket, there's rotten fruit, doing nothing but sitting there, rotting. Get busy for God. Thank God, as I look over this crowd this morning, I see hundreds and hundreds of people with fresh fruit being used to bless the lives of others. Father, bless the invitation and bring down these aisles, these that need Jesus, and these who need to come for baptism or membership. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand, please? The choir is going to sing, All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. And as the choir sings it, you just do what God says you ought to do. That's all we ask. But don't wait. Do it now as the choir sings.